And a good Saturday morning. Welcome into another edition of Ask the Experts. Anne's looking out the window going, what are you talking about? It isn't a good Saturday morning. It's another gray Saturday morning. But
I'm getting older and it's really easy to confuse me and I don't know what season I'm in anymore.
At least you know it's Saturday morning. There's a plus.
That's a plus.
My guest today on Ask the Experts, Kevin Power, Ann Turner, and Jess Turner of Power Mortgages. And we welcome them back. Good morning, all.
Good morning, Dave. And we certainly do know that spring's on the way when the time of the year, tomorrow, or I guess tonight, the times move forward.
Oh, and that's another thing.
Yeah, robbing us of an hour of sleep.
And further confirmation that spring is around the corner as you drive down King Street and you see Dairy Queen open for business. So you know that spring's coming when DQ on King Street is open for business again.
So that's why you came in with that gigantic bowl of ice cream this morning.
Exactly. Yeah, but you notice I didn't bring you one, don't they?
But I mean, this is the other thing. It's 2 weeks early. Why are we doing this American thing? And 2 weeks early, it's the end of the month.
Because
I hate this.
The Americans are wise and we do all that they do. That's why.
I've spent 50-some years turning forward, jumping forward in the spring and falling back in the fall. And now all of a sudden, because an American president, Bush, wants to start it earlier. I forget his reasons at the time. Here we are doing it still. I hate that. I'm an old dog. No more two tricks, please.
Okay. Well, no more. We won't move the time around anymore.
Thank you.
Well, Dave, I'm a firm believer that that all politicians and including the United States presidents make some good decisions, some bad decisions. Me personally, I think it was a good one. I like the extended daylight hours. Getting it sooner, keeping it later.
What a surprise. Anne and Kevin don't agree on something. Okay.
I mean, it's not like they turn the sun on for an extra hour every day, Kevin. They haven't turned it on for an extra hour. You're still going to get the same number of daylight hours. But I'm saying if you're going to change it, just change it when we've always changed it. Don't keep changing the date around about, today's a nice day, let's throw the clock back or forward an hour.
I assure you, we're going to talk about mortgages today at some point.
Okay. Let's do it.
All I know is that every year I get older, this time change gets worse. I just don't. As a kid, I used to spring back from it in like a couple of days. Now it's going to take me a week. Anyway, spring is creeping up on us, as you might have heard, and homebuyers have been out looking for their next or their first home already. However, if you're serious about house shopping and you haven't been pre-approved, then that really is kind of putting the cart before the horse. It can be frustrating, disappointing, and even really heartbreaking if you found that dream home and you don't have pre-approval in place before you shop. Being pre-approved lets you know if a lender's interested in lending the money for your property and lets you and your realtor know what price range you should be looking at. Nothing's worse than looking at a house that's over your price range and knowing that's the only house you really want.
Or looking under, even, and not looking at properties you could have and would really like to have and settling for something you don't have to settle for.
So as you might have gathered, today's show is going to be looking at why you really need a real pre-approval in place before you start looking at home. So what is the first thing a purchaser should do before they start house hunting and why?
The very first thing they should do is go to a mortgage broker. And that is so that mortgage broker can put a pre-approval in place so that you have an idea of how much money you have to purchase a property with, so that you know that you have the documentation to back up your income and your down payment, and that everything is in place so that when you put that offer to purchase in, that it's being taken seriously because you've done your homework ahead of time. Now, I know that a lot of Canadians have some very strong ties to their lending institutions, but there have been a lot of changes in the lending field and in banking over the last number of years that have changed what was once a very honorable and a very conservative and trustworthy industry into an industry that now is out for itself. It is not out for its clients. No matter what it says to you, it is just out for itself. And it is entrapping, in my opinion, it's entrapping Canadians into only doing business with them, making it almost impossible for them to do business elsewhere. And it is putting them in a very vulnerable position for whatever the bank wants to say and do to you once they've got you wrapped up. And I think the first place you really should be is with a mortgage broker, a person who stands outside of these lending institutions, still does business with them, but is there to guide you. I mean, even in our own home, in our business practice, we do not get our telephone service from the same place that we get our internet service. And there's a reason for that, that when one or the other is not treating us properly, we can still turn to them and say, now, if you're not prepared to treat us well as your clients, we're prepared to take our business elsewhere. And there is a place to take it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, actually, I want to see Kevin's head explode. So I'm going to say something before we go to the next question. A pre-approval and a pre-qualification, they're the same thing, right?
Absolutely, Dave. If you want to get absolutely terrible advice and very poor planning in terms of where you're going to go to buy a home, what kind of price range, everybody should get a pre-qualification. And let the surprises begin when you go out and you you find the home of your dreams, and all of a sudden you now go back to your source of lending to find out just what they didn't do in terms of qualifying you for a mortgage. They get you to bring in your pay stubs, your offer to purchase, and do credit checks and different things that they should have done at the beginning, only to find out that, man, you should not have bought in that particular price range.
Okay, your head didn't explode as much as I wanted, so we're gonna have to try a little harder later on in the show.
I've seen that happen so often now, Dave. It doesn't even shock me anymore. I'm dismayed, and the quality of the work that some people put into their so-called pre-approvals is absolutely terrible.
All right, so we want to make sure we have a real, genuine pre-approval. What should our purchaser do before going to be pre-approved?
I'll jump in there. What you want to do is find out exactly what documents your mortgage broker wants you to bring to them. So you want to get these documents ready, and that will be things that are proof of income, proof of down payment, and, ID, things like that. But you can ask your mortgage broker specifically what they want given your circumstance and your type of employment. So have it all ready. Excuse me. It's also good to actually come up with your budget, see what range you're really comfortable in. That'll help you give an idea of what you have left over to put towards your mortgage. And that will give you something to discuss with your mortgage broker as well as you come up together with a suitable price range to shop in.
I'm trying to think of, do we have an example of an employer's letter on our website? If not, maybe we should put that there. One of the documents you're going to need is a letter from your employer that states how long you've been with them, what your position is there, what your income is, and hopefully they'll put down that you aren't on the list for getting laid off immediately or fired. But that is what a lender needs to see, is a letter of employment. And quite often, nobody's too sure about that. And I think that we need to get an example of one of those that people can download and take into their employer to show them exactly what it is that a lender wants to see from a letter of employment. And they want to see also documents like T4 slips and pay stubs
with
year-to-date amounts. To show what your earnings are. They want to see records of any bonuses that you received in the past. It's very important to prove income, and it's also important to show what your debts are. What we end up doing in a pre-approval is figuring out what your net worth is. Net worth is your assets, how much you own minus how much you owe. And lenders are also looking at net worth. They're also looking at whatever kind of savings, RSPs, that sort of thing that you have, any other loans or outstanding bills that you have. And records of all of these things should be in place, as well as where your down payment is, because there are laws that guide where the down payment should come from and how long it has to be in your bank account before the closing date.
My letter of employment probably shouldn't say, we don't know what he does. He just wanders around the halls, right?
As long as you're gainfully employed and you're getting paid for it, Dave, occupation really isn't that important.
They pay you to walk around the halls. That's good enough.
Okay, good. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk about how you get all these documents, where you go to get them all and get them together, and how important they are. And we would love to hear from you if you've got a question about buying your first home or buying your next home and how you should prepare for the pre-approval. Give us a call at 519-570-2545. Out of town, it's 1-800-570-5715, and you can call us hands-free on your cell phone at *570. Back with more from Kevin, Ann, and Jess and Power Mortgages when we return here on 570 News. And thanks so much for joining us, Kevin Power, Ann Turner, and Jess Turner from Power Mortgages, my guests today. You'll find Power Mortgages at 69 Regina Street North in Waterloo and online at powermortgages.ca. And just before we get to Kevin's show rate specials, we do have a caller we want to go over and talk to. Chris, hi there, Chris. You're on 570 News.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Good, Chris. How are you doing?
Not too bad. I have a quick question. I was previously married, and now I have bad credit for paying the bills and this and that, but I'm dating somebody that has good credit.
Okay.
How do I go about getting pre-approved for something? Because obviously, we're not going to get pre-approved for a good amount or whatever because of my credit, right?
Yeah, credit issues are a significant consideration when it comes to getting approved for a mortgage. Some of the ways that we deal with it is recommending to people, a credit rebuilding strategy, a way to reestablish your credit. And that's kind of an ongoing, not overnight thing. It usually takes up to a period of about 2 years of reestablishing credit with certain minimum limits, and both reestablish credit on revolving debts such as credit cards or lines of credit, and also installment loans such as car loans or whatever. Yeah. In terms of specifics of how we would go about qualifying your deal, it may not be in your best interest to try and qualify using both your information. You may end up having to look at qualifying just on your girlfriend's income alone.
Okay.
So it's really case by case, and I don't want to put you on the spot in terms of specifics or anything, Chris. So if you want to give me a call after the show, I would be quite happy to schedule a time to sit down with both of you and go through, see exactly what is in your credit history. Sometimes people, feel that if you missed a couple of payments on a bill, it's the end of the world in terms of a good credit rating. In some cases, it's not as severe as people think. And then conversely as well, it's sometimes people think it's not that bad, and we find out it's an entire disaster. But the only way that you're really going to know for sure is to get somebody to look at it for you that actually knows how to analyze a credit report, see what the issues are, and see if there's any resolutions in terms of getting some of it fixed, or at least putting you in a position.
I have a decent job, right? Mm-hmm. It pays well, but when I got divorced, we split everything up and whatnot. But then my payments, obviously, was just coming from one income, and I couldn't make some of them here and there, right? So my credit obviously went bad, right? So, but yeah, I'll definitely give you a call after the show on that, and we can talk a little bit more, and that'd be great. What's the number?
519-240-2967.
Chris, I really strongly recommend you do that, because I have seen over the years a large number of people that have come in with credit difficulties and had Kevin advise them, and Kevin does this for free. And then they come back in a year or 2 years, and they're just as happy as clams because now they have beautiful-looking credit, and they're able to do what they wanted to do to begin with, which is to go into their own home. And we as a company really want to help you do that. And it means, no, we're not making money off of you by giving you this credit advice, But we do want to help to see you put in a position where eventually you can buy your own property. And there may be a way around it currently, or maybe a way around it in a few months or a year or so. And Kevin is actually very, very good at doing this kind of credit counseling and showing you very specifically what you need to do to put yourself back on the credit map.
Okay.
Perfect. The number once again, sorry?
519.
Yep.
240.
240, yep.
2967.
I'm sorry, 9.
Yeah, 2967.
Okay, perfect. Thank you, Kevin.
Thanks for your call,
Chris. Thanks so much for your call. And before we go any further, because Kevin loves being called right after the show, we'll give you another reason to give him a call. It's his show rate specials.
Thank you, Dave. And this week it's no big surprise that the Bank of Montreal came back in the marketplace with their 2.99% rate. So we'd like to talk to that, address that for a couple of moments anyway. And basically, that is a tremendous five-year rate. There is no arguing that. However, rate is not the only consideration when it comes to getting a mortgage. And some of the drawbacks in terms of that particular product is it is offered on a maximum of a 25-year amortization. And also the prepayment privileges, the ability to pay extra money, have been reduced significantly in terms of the amount of money extra that you can pay on your mortgage, as well as some clauses that basically close the mortgage for the first 3 years of the five-year term. If you win the lotto and you want to pay the mortgage out, or if your circumstances change and you want to do something with regards to paying out that mortgage, a number of these products, we refer to them as stripped-out prepayment privilege products, basically tied into the interest rate. In order to get the rate, you got to give something up, and that could cause you considerable issues down the road. So while 2.99 is a good rate, it's not the only consideration, and sometimes the best interest rate doesn't necessarily mean the best mortgage and also the best course of action. So with that being said, we're currently offering five-year term mortgages, closing within 30 days, 3.19%. We have three-year mortgages at 2.89, four-year at 2.99. And I'd like to stress that all of those mortgage products are full prepayment privileges, and they're open for repayment at any time, subject to standard interest or industry penalties. We have 10-year money at 3.99%. And variable rate mortgages, we actually have one lender right now that's in the discounting. Prime sitting at 3%. We're offering prime minus 0.15 for 2.85 on a five-year adjustable rate mortgage.
Some really great rates. So if you'd like to give Kevin a call right after the show to take advantage of them, 519-240-2967. And how many callers did we say? How many? It's like the first two or first three new business?
Oh, today it's wide open.
Okay.
Anybody who calls that qualifies, so long as you got a good job, good income, good credit history, you qualify, we're happy to set you up with a great rate.
All right, 519-240-2967. So before the break, the last break, we were talking about all the different documents that you have to have when you go to see your mortgage broker. How do you get these documents if you don't have them already?
Well, again, I think, Dave, I think one of the things that people should really do when they're getting ready to get pre-approved for a mortgage, whoever it is that you're going to contact, I think you should actually ask some really, I guess, predetermined questions to basically find out about the qualification of people that you're working with. Ask them how long they have been involved in mortgages. How many have they done? What kind of experience do they have? Do they own a home themselves? Did they have a mortgage or more than one mortgage themselves? Find out, I guess, basically the qualification of people that you're working with. Ask them if there's any paperwork that you need to bring in. And if you get the response, no, that's fine, we'll just meet and we'll chat and don't worry about the paperwork, I think it's probably going to give you a pretty good indication that that's probably the person that you should not be doing business with. You're really setting yourself up for the potential of surprise and disappointment when nobody asks you for anything. What I do myself when somebody calls and wants to book an appointment, I ask them some questions about where do you work, how long have you worked there, how do you get paid, do you get paid salary, do you get paid hourly, do you get paid commission, do you get paid bonuses? And basically what I'm doing is really qualifying the people in advance of the appointment and giving me an opportunity to ask them what paperwork they want to bring in, be it pay stubs or tax returns, T1 generals, notice of assessments. There's a mountain full of paperwork that you could actually ask for. Sometimes certain cases, depending on the nature of the income, we need more paperwork than others. But the paperwork is relatively easy to get. Pay stubs, everybody gets those on a weekly or biweekly basis. And if you don't have any in your possession, tax returns or notice of assessments, you can always contact Canada Revenue Agency and they'll mail it to you.
All righty. We'll talk a little bit more about how important these documents are. We'll also talk about credit reports, since we brought it up a little while ago with our phone caller, and a lot more as we return in just a few minutes with more of Power Mortgages on Ask the Experts here on 570 News. Joining me on the show today from Power Mortgages, Kevin Power, Ann Turner, and Jess Turner. You'll find them online at powermortgages.ca, and you can call their office at 519-886-1993. You can also call and talk to them right now if you've got questions about anything to do with mortgages. Today, specifically, we're talking about pre-approvals, but anything you want to know, it's pretty hard to stump them, but you could try. 519-570-2545. Out of town, 1-800-570-5715 or *570, hands-free on your cell phone. We talked before the break the importance of gathering all these documents together that your mortgage broker wants to see, and if they don't ask to see anything, you ask to see them later. How important are all these documents that we've been asked to gather up? If we're missing one, is it going to be that big a deal?
Well, it's always got the potential, Dave, and speaking from personal experience, it's any piece of paper that you're missing always creates an element of question. And question is, what is it actually going to look like when you get to see it? Excuse me. The only way for sure and certain is when you look at paperwork to determine not only the fact that you've got it in your possession, you should actually look at it and read it and interpret it and analyze it and make sure it actually adds up to the information that the client has given you. As an example, if somebody tells you they're making $60,000 a year, and you look at their paycheck, and their paycheck for the period shows income of $2,000 for a biweekly period. So if you look at it, and they're getting paid every second Friday, so biweekly, you've got 26 pay periods. If you multiply $2,000 by 26 pay periods, it works out to $52,000. It's not the $60,000 that somebody claimed. So it gives you an opportunity to ask the question, why the difference? Well, I got a bonus last year of $8,000. A bonus is not part of your base income. It's variable income. And the requirements in terms of supporting an application on $60,000 worth of income, you then have to rely on the previous year's tax returns or 2 years tax returns, as well as corresponding notice of assessments from Canada Revenue Agency. Basically, to use variable income, you need 2 years history. If you take somebody's information and for granted and you don't see a pay stub and you work all your numbers out at $60,000, when you finally get the paperwork and you read it and you find out that now your income is only $52,000, you and your customer are in a very, very, very poor position in the fact that they bought a house at their maximum end of the price range. Only now are you finding out that they don't qualify for it, which really becomes problematic. If they've removed their condition on financing, you're doing the paperwork afterwards. So it's really, the deal is only as good as the paperwork that you've got and you've seen, that you've analyzed, and making sure that it actually ties together with the information that's been placed on the application.
Quite often, people will feel, well, I haven't handed all the paperwork in yet. However, I've gotten a commitment back from the lender, and so I'm good. I don't really need that paperwork. They've already said they'll give me the money. But the fact is that they're going to give you the money on condition of that paperwork. The lender doesn't see you. You don't see the lender. All the lender sees and knows about you is the document that has been handed in that backs up what you've said in your application. And if your documentation and your application aren't backing one another up, then that lender isn't interested because they really don't know you or know anything about you other than what's been presented to them in the documentation.
All right, let's go over to the phones now. And I'm sorry, Kevin, did you want to say something else?
Yeah, I guess sometimes when you analyze paperwork, Dave, let's take a case in point of somebody who's been previously married and they have a commitment for child support or spousal support payments, and it's being deducted from their paycheck through the FRO, the Family Responsibility Office. If that's not one of the questions or the information that's not volunteered by the customer, when, again, getting back to her $60,000 example of income, if you haven't taken in consideration that basically they've got an agreement or they've got a court-ordered support payment of $800 a month, all of a sudden now you've got another commitment for $800 a month on a payment that you have that all of a sudden hasn't been counted for. And again, if you're in a position that you bought at your maximum end, now that you're looking at the paperwork after the fact, you got a situation and somebody doesn't qualify for the mortgage that you pre-approved them for.
All right, let's head over to the phones now. Mario has been waiting patiently. Hi, Mario. You're on 570 News.
Morning. How are you guys doing?
Good, Mario. How are you?
Not too bad. The question is, I'm thinking in buying a second property and having my son live on that property. My question is, I know when you buy a rental property versus a residential property that you're going to be living there or a member of your family, it's a different percentage that you have to put down. So I'm buying a house that is for my son. Say 2, 3, 4, 5 months down the road, he no longer wants to live there, and I may not want to sell the house. Can I rent the house and not get in trouble? Well, because now it's going to become a rental property.
Yeah, great question, Mario. And I guess the answer that I can give to you on that is what you're really looking at doing is buying a home or a second home. Basically, it's going to be inhabited by a family member with minimum down payment of 5%. The rental police will not show up after your closing and confirm who is actually living there. So from that perspective, you really don't have any, I guess, obligations as such. Where you may run into a situation is that some mortgage companies actually have clauses not only in their mortgage commitments but in their mortgage documents that are registered on title on closing that actually prevents you from turning it into a rental property. And while that in itself is, you know, how would anybody ever find out whether it's a rental property or not after the fact? To basically, when you buy your home, and if it's going to be a second home, the insurance policy that you set up on it is typically going to be a homeowner's insurance policy. That policy will not cover your property when you turn it into a rental property. So you actually will end up then having to change your insurance and the coverage on it from a homeowner's policy to a landlord's policy, and a copy of that gets sent to your lender. So you really, I guess the answer is, you're really going to have to know who you're doing business with and whether or not they have any restrictions that prevent you from turning it into a rental property.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome, and we'd be happy to talk to you about financing such a property. And we have lenders that don't have that restriction in.
All right. Okay, great.
Okay, thanks for your call, Mario.
Super Mario, thank you so much for calling. And if you'd like to call in with your questions, lines continue to be open at 519-570-2545. Out of town, 1-800-570-5715 or star 570, hands-free on your cell phone.
And I'm sure, Dave, that you really made Mario's day for him by referring to him as Super Mario.
Oh, no. Did I really do that?
Yes, you did.
Okay.
I missed that too,
obviously. Because normally, if I was going to do that, I'd make a big deal out of it and point out how funny I am. But I'm going to have to go get that one off the logger tape. That's a keeper. Anyway.
I didn't even notice.
Thank you, Kevin.
Did you say it at the beginning? At the beginning? Or?
Yeah. No, as I ended the phone call, I said Super Mario. Okay, let's go on to something equally entertaining, credit reports. When you're going through this whole process, will a credit report be done, and who's going to pay for it?
I'm going to jump in here because I've been silent for a while.
Okay.
And sometimes it's hard for me to jump in, so I'm just going to steal this part. Okay, so a credit report, who does it? Well, if you're getting a pre-qualification, then probably no one, and that's a problem. So you want to make sure that you are getting a pre-approval, which will include somebody asking you for the documentation we've been talking about, as well as doing a credit report. Those are both very vital steps in confirming whether or not you do qualify. And you want to go into any home purchase with any offer feeling confident that you can follow through with that purchase. So your credit report should be done by your mortgage broker or your lender. And what they're going to do is take a look at your history, and they're going to take that into consideration as to finding out whether you qualify along with your income. So you may wonder, what kind of stuff is on a credit report? So there really are some main things we're looking for when we're underwriting your mortgage and seeing whether you qualify. We want to know about your payment history. What's your track record? Have you been late on payments? If so, how late? And how often, recently, or was it years ago? How much you owe? Do you only have maybe a couple $1,000s, or do you owe $60,000? Those will give us some information on you as a credit risk. Also, your use of your credit. How close to you on the limits are you to the limits of your revolving credit? Another important one is lenders really want to know the length of time you have established credit. So they want to see a history here. We want to know, have you the ability to make your repayments? And if it's a new credit card, you've had it for 2 months, that doesn't tell us, are you consistent? Can you make these payments consistently over the years? Another really important thing would be the type of credit you have. Is it a whole bunch of furniture you've bought at Leon's, or is it a car loan? Is it revolving credit? Is it a line of credit or a credit card? So what types of credit you have? And another thing we like to look for ourselves as well is if you've been out there searching for credit recently. So are you shopping around not just for a mortgage, but to buy a car at the same time? All very vital pieces of information to the person who's trying to qualify you, not to pre-qualify you, but pre-approve you for a mortgage.
All right. Now, when you get this credit report and you take a look at it, oh my goodness, look, there's a mistake. Because believe it or not, the credit folks, they're not infallible either. What if there is a mistake on your credit report? Can you fix it?
You can, and I'm not going to say that it's not like pulling teeth and not going to take a long time to do. We have had clients with that issue, and the first thing you want to do is you're going to want to contact either Equifax or TransUnion, and you can contact them on the phone. They may help you file a report via the phone, or they may ask you to fill something out on paper, and they'll do an investigation. Though I think you're going to have to be a squeaky wheel if you want to get this stuff fixed. Something else you want to be concerned about is finding out if there's any identity theft occurring. If somebody's using your name, social insurance number, and getting credit out there, that's a really big concern in the last number of years. So if there is anything that is not yours on your credit report, you need to look into it immediately, and you need to be the squeaky wheel to get that fixed.
It's an extremely frustrating process to get something removed from your credit file, regardless if it's yours or not. And I'll share some information about a long-term client of mine who has lived in the Kitchener area for over 30 years. She's been at her place of employment for an equivalent period of time. She's been a homeowner, owned her current home for a decade and owned a home previous to that. And she's got a paid account with a major credit card company / department store. Somewhere along the way, and she's got a fairly common name, kind of like Smith, and somewhere along the way, somebody applied for credit. They possibly seem to have it intercepted some of her personal information, used an address that was not hers. It was for an apartment building in North York, Ontario. She's never lived in North York, Ontario, and particularly where she's lived and worked here for almost three decades. And she's got this $3,000 limit credit card on her file, which now has got a balance of $13,000 owing on it, and it's got an R9 rating. R9 rating basically means that the lender's considered to be a bad debt. Doesn't mean that they're not going to try and collect it. We've been working on this particular one for about the last 6 weeks, and called Equifax and got them involved, and they were going to do their own internal investigation on it, contacted the creditor directly, and they were quite willing to work with me in terms of, yeah, well, you know, let us know her name and her birth date and her social insurance and where she lives and what her phone number is. And when we got into really talking about, okay, what documents do you have? What do you have on file that actually demonstrates that this credit actually belongs to this particular client? No, we've got to talk to her. They wouldn't give me any information. But so we had the client call. She talked to them and said, listen, you know, here's the issue. This is not my file. I've got a paid account with you guys. Check the signatures. Check the signatures from both applications. I've never lived at this address. Check the signatures on the charge slips. You have $13,000 worth of purchases on this account. You got to have signatures.
Mm-hmm.
They still haven't looked at it. This has been 6 weeks into this program. Yesterday, I was back on working on it again, and it's now been escalated to the fraud department at Equifax. And again, despite the fact they've got notes all over the place, and I've talked to Equifax five times on this account, customers got to call in directly. They contacted the creditor, and the creditor says, "What's your account?" Right? It's the chicken and the egg, or the Mexican standoff. Client says, "It's not mine. Prove it's mine by sending me the signatures on the charge slips and on the application."
Mm-hmm.
Creditor says, "It's your account."
Well,
we're not going to prove that it's not.
I hope that gets cleared up in the near future. That sounds incredibly frustrating.
It's my project for the year, I think.
Oh, good.
This is the problem with lenders. They don't care who they get their money from, so long as they get it. And it doesn't matter if you weren't the person that ran up those charges. They want their money, and if there's any chance at all of getting it from you, even though you don't owe the debt, they'll do it.
Wow. So, again, yet another thing to be careful about. Make sure you check your credit rating and your credit report every now and then. Make sure someone in North York isn't spending your money. My guests, Kevin Power, Ann Turner, and Jess Turner of Power Mortgages, online at powermortgages.ca. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll go back over to the phones and take more questions here on 570 News. Thank you for joining us. From Power Mortgages, Kevin Power, Ann Turner, and Jess Turner join us once again. You can find out more at powermortgages.ca. He's been waiting patiently on the phone, so let's go over and say hi to Bill. Hi, Bill. You're on 570 News.
Good morning, everybody. How's it going today?
Good, Bill. How are you today?
Good, good. Listening to the story about the games that the banks and the creditors and the credit agencies play took me back several years. I'm not sure whether they still play this particular game. But all these credit cards that, certain unnamed companies like, Capital One and various others that send you, and even your own big Canadian bank credit cards, people probably don't know that if you've got a credit card with a $5,000 or $10,000 limit that you didn't ask for and that they send to you, that seems to show up on your credit report as a liability.
That's correct.
So that still happens.
Yeah, and you've got to phone the bank and rip up your card and argue with people. And it took me ages, many, many years ago, after I discovered this was the fact. And I know that there's a lot more of these unwanted credit cards being sent out to people these days.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's lenders being overly aggressive, in my opinion, to try and grow their book of business and coming up with ingenious ways to do that by basically sending pre-approved credit cards to people. Even in some cases where they're not qualified or they happen to get into the wrong hands, somebody activates them, and all of a sudden you're in a situation that you got a debt that's in your name that you didn't actually take on yourself. Somebody helped themselves to your credit.
I'm a little saddened, actually. I'm very saddened to hear that the practice is still going on, because my situation was upwards of 20 years ago. And your North York experience doesn't make me feel any better today, so...
I don't think it makes any of us feel good, Bill. I was just saying during the break that that's just scary. And I think that it should be on the person who's lending the money to prove that they lent it to the right person, not the other way around.
We just don't have enough free money in this country anymore, right?
Absolutely. 100% agreement. Thanks for your call, Bill. Have a great day.
Thank you so much for calling up, Bill. See, I didn't say Super Bill this time or anything like that. Not that that would be as bad. So let's talk about the credit scores then. If you've had the credit report and you find out it's not as rosy as you hoped it would be, how do you go about improving your credit score?
Some of it is an easy fix. Some of it is not so easy. Late payments or default, on any type of credit will stay on your file with Equifax up to 6 years from the date of last payment. And if you and just to try and put that in perspective, if you had an account that you defaulted on, you didn't make a payment on it for 3 years. So you've already got 3 years gone on the clock in terms of being on your file and making it difficult for you to obtain reasonable credit or reasonable financing because of the default, and you go in and you pay it off. Well, then all of a sudden, you've made a payment 3 years after you defaulted, and now it's going to stay on your file for another 6 years from the date that you made your last payment. It's going to stay on your file for upwards of 9 years or longer, depending on how long it's been on and when you made the last payment. In certain cases, and I certainly don't advocate people not paying their bills. Sometimes terrible things happen to the best people in the world, and all of a sudden they end up in a bad situation. They can't manage all the debt that they've got. And my recommendation is when somebody gets within a year of the statute of limitations, I recommend to them not to do anything, because if they go in and they even pay any type of settlement on it, it's been on their file for 5 years, it's going to stay for another six, it's been on their file for up to 11 years to before it goes away. That's kind of an extreme case, but that's when you get in that position, it takes something to really, takes a long time to take it off your file. Some of the easy fixes are on revolving credit, like credit cards and lines of credit, significant correlation between credit limits and credit balances. If you advance more than 75% of your credit limit, it negatively impacts your credit score by 40 points. That's something that you can fix relatively quickly by paying your revolving credit items down below 75%, and within 45 to 60 days, your credit score has rebounded. If you go $1 over your credit limit on a revolving credit item, negatively impacts your credit score by 70 points.
Okay, so don't do that. Don't do that. All right. So how do I get a copy of my credit report so I can see it? Will I get a copy when you do your check?
Absolutely not. There are privacy rules and laws that will not allow us. We sign an agreement with Equifax and TransUnion that says that we will not release to anybody our credit reports that we pull on people. And that is for that person's benefit. It clearly is for that person's benefit. And we can't just pull anybody's name anywhere and do what we want with it. We have to have we have to have permission to pull the credit report. And if that person wants their credit report, then they can get it from Equifax themselves. You go online or you phone into Equifax, you provide them with the documentation that you are who you say you are, and they will mail out a credit report to you. But we cannot give it to you. You might want it for whatever reasons, but we cannot give it to you.
Oh, come on. Oh, come on, Ann.
So they're in the true reason, and Ann and I being on side and not disagreeing with each other again, is a real reason, in my opinion, why we had to sign that contractual agreement, is that unless a customer is prepared to wait and get a credit report mailed to them for free from either Equifax or TransUnion, if they want to do one online, they got to pay for it. If we give them a copy of ours, well, then there's no cost.
Exactly. We've got less than a minute left in the show, and I have just realized that I didn't let Kevin do his show rate specials again when we came back from break, so let's wrap up with those.
All right. I think we should get Ann to do them, but she might give away the ship, so I guess I've got to do it. All right, 5-year fixed-term money, 3.19%. That's with full prepayment privileges, 20 and 25% a year, and you can pay it out at any time with standard interest penalties. We have 3-year money available at 2.89%, 4-year at 2.99%. All those interest rates are available, new customers only, and that is 30-day quick close money. You must close within 30 days from the date of the application. We have 10-year money available at 3.99%.
And if you'd like to take advantage of any of those rates, give Kevin a call now because the show's over. 519-240-2967. That's 240-2967. Thanks so much for being here again.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Super Dave.
Dave Osborne. Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin. And we'll be back with more of Ask the Experts after the noon news here on 570 News.